Every morning I watch you walk into the office in your business suit and matching shoes. With your hair put up neatly, you tug at your glasses and you sit down just 3 desks down. And I watch you in the fluorescent glare, and my mind drifts away somewhere. Well, there's girls at the office the guys always notice when they walk by, but you're not the type. They don't know what I know, or some things just don't show until it tweets.
If you're tired of being spoon-fed politically correct cowbum every time you turn the radio on, join Corp Reynolds for The Shooting Bench for the most politically incorrect firearms information program on talk radio.
I heard your teeth chatter from the cold outside. Saw the bullets open up the wounds in your side. I saw the young boys as they began to fall. You had tears in your eyes, cause you couldn't help it all. But you fought all the way, Johnny Reb, Johnny Reb. You fought all the way, Johnny Reb.
The Shooting Bench, 8 to 9 p.m. Pacific, 11 to midnight Eastern, on the Survival Circle.
Thought he'd call a great victory ball, but he asked the band to play the song Dixie for you, Johnny Reb, and all that you believe, cause you fought all the way, Johnny Reb, Johnny Reb.
Thank you.
She's back! Miss Amy is back with an all-new Living Way Out here on the Survival Circle Network. Join Amy for an uplifting hour of fun on Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday evenings at 7 p.m. Pacific, 10 p.m. Eastern, right here on Survival Circle. Hi, I'm Cope Reynolds, and I'll be your host for the next 2 hours on The Shooting Bench, where we'll discuss the good, the bad, and the ugly issues that Americans face today. Loss of liberty, violations of our civil rights, Second Amendment issues, and the rape of our precious Constitution in general. Roll up your sleeves. Let's get started right now.
Easy to take liberty for granted when you've never had it taken from you.
All in favor of losing your rights, please do nothing. Alright, here we are. It's the Shooting Bench. It's the 4th of November and it's a Wednesday. And, for the first time in probably close to a year or several months, may have been a year, we are no longer being late on, well, actually it's been 6 months. That's how long it's been. So we don't have to be late anymore on Wednesday nights. So we're in good shape. I tell you what we are thinking about doing though, and I want y'all to think about this and see if, hey, looks like Gretel doesn't have to go to the corner tonight. Eddie Crump doesn't even have to go to the corner. B2 Basic doesn't have to go to the corner. Wow. That's pretty impressive there. Everybody's on time. Or a lot of you are, anyway. Let's see. Where's, Tampico Scout's in there. Yeah. Long Slide. Katie Brad, good to see you in there tonight. Little Fish is getting to be a regular fixture. That's good. A couple of anonymous there. I tell you, I'm thinking, I don't know if we're going to do it yet, but we're entertaining notions here of, before I say anything, let me make sure that we've got sound going there. That looks good. Recording's going good. Okay, well, let me check here one time. Let me try this here. Make sure. Just a second, make sure before I make this earth-shattering announcement. Okay, Yakima Glock said we're good. I'm thinking real hard, and this is going to be a very difficult decision, about going to three nights a week, Amy and I both, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. We don't want to change Liberty Lounge. We want to keep that going the same. Don't know if that's what we're going to do or not. I've been on 5 nights a week for 5 years, and we've got, you know, it's been a little over 5 years now, almost 5 and a half. So I'll ponder on it and see what you guys think there. If we do that, I'll probably have a I don't know what I'm going to do as far as a format yet. We'll figure out something, and we may put some I may put together some pre-records or something for the other 2 nights, or archives, so that anybody that comes on will still have them going at the same time, just maybe not live. But there's just so many things that need to be done, and you know, every single night being in here for 2 hours with Amy and mine both, that it's starting to tell on us. You know, we need more family time and whatnot. And I don't know if we're going to do this or not, so don't get too excited about it yet. Even if we decide to, I'll probably give you, you know, like 2 weeks notice before we start doing it. Or maybe we'll start it at the first of the year or something like that. It's not going to be an immediate thing. There's too many people out there that listen, you know, via podcast and whatnot, that wouldn't get the word in time if we did it very quickly. So, I don't know. I'll let y'all weigh in on it and see what you think. But, you know, there's plenty to talk about. It's not that. We've just got so many other things that we probably ought to be doing. We do this every single night. And it was a little bit easier back three years. That we had sponsors and stuff, and was actually, you know, kind of worthwhile to do this because it brought in a little extra paycheck. Now it's hard even to just keep enough donations coming in to pay for the servers and stuff. So we'll see how it plays out here. I don't know that that's what we're going to do yet, but we're thinking about it, and so I'll let you know in plenty of time. It'll be at least, you know, a couple of weeks before we would do that. And we may, like I said, may do it the first of the year. I don't know. But anyway, that's kind of what I'm looking at. You know, there's when I was a kid, I'm going to tell you guys a little survival tip here, a little survival secret. It's not really a secret. For those of you that you know, your dads or granddads were hunters, or, you know, farmers, worked in the field, worked outdoors in the wintertime. This is something that the younger people, a lot of them, have never heard of. And a lot of you guys that are, you know, well, some younger people have. But that is the magic of the pantyhose cap, the nylon hose stocking type cap. And it's I remember we always had them when I was a kid. I always hated to wear mine unless I was up in the woods with daddy or something, because I was afraid somebody's going to see me with pantyhose on my head. And then I got to a point that I didn't care. And so they've got, you know, different colors and stuff now. We've got I made two new ones today because we were hanging up a bunch of onions, and we just went down to the dollar store down here and bought some pantyhose for $1 a piece, and cut the legs out of them and tied the onions in there individually, you know, separate them and hung them up down under the house. And then I took the waist part of it, and this is a what was it? I think they were queen size, you know, full size, extra size, whatever, something like that. And it works perfectly. And this is something that you can put, you can fold up and put in your shirt pocket. It takes up literally no room. If they get damp, they dry out in a matter of minutes. If, you know, get them on the heater or over fire, you have to be careful over fire, but, where there's some warm air moving, and it just takes a couple of minutes for them to dry out. And you would be absolutely, if you've never tried this, you would be totally astonished at how effective those things are. They don't look like much, they don't feel like much, and we look at it, this is no way. But when it's cold and windy and snowy and rainy and nasty outside, you put that stocking cap on, and I'll guarantee promise you that it makes a huge, it's not just a little difference, it is a huge difference, monstrous. I don't think they're probably quite as warm as a good wool stocking cap, you know, of course, but they are very warm. It works very, very good. And because there's so much stretch in them, you have a ready-made tourniquet right there if you need to use it for that. You can also, if you cut it out properly, hey, Chet, good to see you in here again tonight. If you cut it out properly, just cut the legs right out and leave basically two openings, two holes where the legs used to be. Actually, you could cut it off all the way across there. And that's right, Doc. 9 out of 10 bank robbers recommend. The things are, you can pull it down over your face. Now, not to rob banks with, but if you have a place, two reasons. If you're somewhere where you need to break up that outline and get rid of that shine in the eyes, then you could pull that stocking cap down over your head. And it's not hot in the summertime, but it's warm in the wintertime. And you could pull that down over your face. You can still see very well through them. You can still see through a rifle scope. And if it's rainy and windy and nasty out there so much that your face is cold, pull that stocking cap down over your face. Now, if you see a game warden or something out there, he's probably going to think there's something a little suspicious going on, so you might want to be a little careful of that. But other than that, it works great. And like I said, fold it up and put it in your shirt pocket there for $1 a piece. There's no reason in the world to be without. You stick one in the truck, one in each of your backpacks, and in the wintertime, just carry one in your shirt pocket. You get out somewhere and all of a sudden it's blustery and nasty, just whoop that thing up. And another great thing about it is it allows you to, I wear a cap all the time. I wear a cap or a hat or a cowboy hat 100% of the time. If I'm sitting around the house watching TV, I may take it off, but if I'm out and about, I wear a cap 100% of the time. And with that stocking cap, you can wear your cap right over it. You can't even feel it. I can pull it down over around my Bluetooth and leave it in there, and it works fine. So there's just no downsides to that. And if something happens and you lose it or throw it away or whatever, then it's no big deal. You go down, pay a buck, and get you another one. And you could actually make several of them out of one set. I use the waist part of it just because I like the big the elastic band, you know. And I don't even bother tying the top or anything like that. But you could probably make, depending on, you know, especially with your kids or whatever, you could make probably at least three more out of each leg. If you get the full size woman size, you know, I don't know about the petite or whatever, but if you get the full size woman ones, you can make probably somewhere between 7 and 9, somewhere in there. I know somebody's going to say that would be 8. Yeah, 7, 8, or 9, maybe. And have them stuck everywhere. So there, I think there's a lot of different things that you could use it for. You could even take it off and slip it over a rifle scope. If you needed to, you're worried about, you know, looking towards the sun, you're worried about that glare and somebody seeing it, just whoop that thing out of your pocket and put it right over your rifle scope. And that would kill the glare on it. So there's a lot of things you could use it for, and I think it's something that could be stuck in. I used them all the time when I was a kid, all the time. Well, of course, except when there was people around, but we carried them hunting all the time. I'd go out and feed horses and do all that stuff, and it was a regular deal there. Let's see. B2 Basic had a great compliment. Someone told someone that took your hand class. You're jealous. All right. Well, that sounds good. B2 Basic. Maybe we'll get another class going up there yet. By the way, for those of you that have wondered about the guy that was burned night before last. Was it night before? Yeah, Monday night. They had him in an induced coma, and they took it out today. They're taking some of the tubes out. He has apparently is kind of not as bad as he was. He's doing quite a bit better. I don't know if he's out of the woods yet, but they said they did take him out of the coma to check his pain levels, and apparently they left him, you know, out of the coma, left him, they didn't put him back in the coma. So he apparently he's doing a little bit better. So we've sure been praying for him and hoping that he gets better. He's a nice guy. He's had a tough life, and this has been a devastating thing for him and his wife. And thank you for all of those that are have been concerned and asked about it. So, all right, let's see here. We've got, you know, there's good news out there right now. For the sixth month in a row, gun sales have set a record. The FBI says the NICS system has processed right at 2 million firearms-related checks in October alone. 1,976,759, to be precise, if you're counting. You know, what's 100,000 or so one way or the other amongst friends? But that is a 373,000 increase over last year at the same time, and a new record for this month. And it also makes October the sixth consecutive month to see record numbers of checks. So where does that leave us here? You know, people say, well, what if they declare martial law and what if they come get our guns? What, are you stupid or something? When you know, there's, what, 300 million guns out there in this country? Surely, to hell, there's, out of that 300 million, we can find a few hundred thousand, I would hope, that would say, no, sir, that's not going to happen. I will not comply. I don't get where they think. Why do you think they haven't done it already? Because there's 100 million gun owners out there with somewhere in the vicinity of 300 million guns. What are they going to do? Just send out an order in the newspaper on Fox News and say, okay, game's up. Guys march down to City Hall and just obediently, please, in an orderly manner, I want you to put all your guns in that dump truck down there. Okay? And we'll see y'all tomorrow. You should all have them in there and be done. And we're just going to march down there and do that. Is that right? No, it's not right. I don't think they. Yeah, they've tried it in Connecticut. They've tried it in a couple of places there, and it hasn't worked out as well as they'd planned. And what are they going to do when you don't? What are they going to do when you say, "I will not comply"? Are you going to? Are they going to say, "Oh, yes, you will comply"? Because we've got 40 officers right here, and there's only 800,000 of you, and you will comply. You can kiss a fat baby's ass is what you can do. That ain't going to be happening. So I don't know why everybody is so scared and so worried about taking the guns away from you. Now, that does bring up another question, though. What are they going to do? There's, you know, we've got this whole Syrian thing and ISIS and all this stuff and the illegal aliens and all these other things going on. Is it even remotely possible, as some people think, that all of these people are coming over here to create enough disturbance and enough of a war to reduce the population down to a manageable size? Are they going to try to gas us? Is there going to be some biological warfare going? You know, what's happening? You know that something's going to go on here. We also know that it is absolutely impossible, completely out of reason, to even consider that they could figure out some way to take our guns or to encourage us to turn them in. There'll be some say, "Oh yeah, that's for the better of the country and the safety of the children and all that, and we've got the protection of the government. Why do we need all that stuff?" So yeah, I'll turn mine in. You know, I don't hunt much anymore. And I'll turn them in. So how is that going to work exactly? B2 Basic, there's either something wrong with your story or that was a very used gun. There is no way in hell you sold a new Smith & Wesson 357 Magnum, $359. Unless somebody pulled it out of the box and mistook that 3 for an 8 or something and put the wrong price on it. It had to have been a used gun. I'm anxious to see what the model was and stuff there. Okay. And Doc, you know, you may be right about that. I may argue just a little bit, but you might be right about the 357 being the best all-round survival and defensive cartridge. It's great. I don't know about the best. I might disagree a little bit, but I'd have to say that it is exceedingly versatile. There's so many things that you can do with it. You know, a little lever action carbine and a good 6-inch revolver, and you're pretty damn well armed. And there may be, practice up with your speed loaders and stuff to make up for the time in reloading of semi-automatics, and there's a capacity issue and what. But if you look at the versatility of it and the fact that you don't need magazines, you know, that's going to be a big factor someday, which is exactly why I have put one away. Just for that, a pair of them away, a rifle and a carbine and a revolver, just for that very reason. Just because there may come a day when magazines are non-existent, And you're foraging whatever ammo you can find. There's But you could probably say that for several calibers. Say the 9mm, for instance, it's not nearly as versatile as far as finding ammunition, different types of ammunition, but the 9mm will always be around. There's always some out there. And I'd say that may be my second choice. And we talked about the 22 Magnum, another great choice. The only problem with that is finding ammo after the poop hits fan. It may not be as plentiful. The other side is that you can carry, 1,000 rounds on your person and without straining your milk too much. So there's a lot of different things to consider. But like I said, a little lever action carbine and a 6-inch double action revolver, and you've got a pretty good damn good combination right there, no doubt. And yeah, I've got a GP100 too. I've got a 6-inch stainless GP100 to go with my little Marlin carbine. And they are a great pair together. They work very well together. Okay, B2 Basic. I can go for that. A promo. I can go for that. That happens from time to time. Somebody was a lucky individual right there. No doubt. Okay. Well, let's take a little bit of a break here, and I'll be back in a minute.
And on the eighth day, God looked down on his planned paradise and said, I need a defender. So God made a patriot. God said, I need somebody willing to sacrifice everything, his fortune, his sacred honor, even his life, for liberty and something called inalienable rights that he cannot see but knows he cannot live without. So God made a patriot. God said, I need somebody willing to ride a horse through sleepy towns in the dark of night, sounding the alarm, entreating neighbors to take up arms against an overwhelming force of wicked tyranny. So God made a patriot. God said, I need someone who, even after crushing defeats, rises up and stands tall. Someone who hears the clarion call that these are the times that try men's souls and does not shrink from the trial. Someone who will cross a frozen river in the dead of winter, when all logic and reason says, turn back, abandon hope. So God made a patriot. Then God said, I need a man who knows of the rise and fall of great nations, who knows of human nature and the corrupting influence of power and the fragility of liberty. I need this man, along with his like-minded brethren, to write an enduring constitution. So God made a patriot. God said, I need a person, one person, who's willing to do whatever it takes, even write a book to confront injustice and spark a movement that would tear apart a people so that chains will rightfully be shattered and a blessed union eventually emerge. So God made a patriot. And God said, I need someone who, with the love of family and for the love of country, will cross a vast ocean and storm a heavily fortified beach. And, if he survives, charge through 200 yards of bullets and blood across that merciless beach. And, if he survives, scale the towering cliffs. And, if he survives, begin the long march to free a continent. And, if he survives, return home and, with the same resolute determination, rebuild a nation and someday be called the greatest generation. So God made a patriot. And God said, I need someone who will, without thought of self, invest in schools and scouts and church and community so that the proposition that all men are created equal remains a beacon to enlighten the world and that such a beacon shall not perish from the earth. So God made a patriot. And God said, I need someone who will have the courage to not give up her seat on a bus and thus force a nation to confront its deepest divisions and heal the wounds and pursue the dream that inspires all hearts. So God made a patriot. And God said, I need someone strong enough to stand against any enemy, foreign or domestic, that would try to steal the freedom so dearly defended, the rights so righteously upheld, yet gentle enough to help a small child carry a star-spangled flag in a hometown parade. So God made a patriot. Then God said, I need a man who will speak the truth to his own leaders, that in order to preserve our great nation, we will not sacrifice the well-being of future generations for the sake of our own. Someone who will tirelessly toil day upon night, no matter the setback, no thought of surrender. Someone who will prayerfully rise every morning to climb the wall as a defender, duly endowed with the honored gift of generations before, while offering a solemn promise to generations ahead. A defender who will ensure that the way of truth and the torch of liberty remain forever lit in this shining city on a hill. So God made a patriot.
When she turned around, I said, I'm sorry, and just walked away. From a distance, she had that look, and for a second or two, I thought it was you. Took a moment to catch my breath, tried to brace myself, still don't have a clue how to leave your memory behind. After all this time, I hear there's one special love each life, light us up like a fool. I thought it was you. I still drive by your house, taking trips down memory lane. We had our future worked out, at least we did on that old porch swing. Day in my rearview mirror, I saw an old Malibu. Girl, I thought it was you. Took a moment to catch my breath, tried to brace myself, still don't have a clue how to leave. There's one special love in each life, light us up like a fool. I thought it was you. Am I really a fool? I thought it was you. It was you. Why couldn't it be you?
All right, I don't know where Ziva is tonight, but I was looking at her deal on Facebook. She posted about this cinnamon pecan bread. I haven't seen that recipe come across the line here for Amy's book yet. So from henceforth, if you're going to post something up here that you've made, you need to contribute to the Survival Circle recipe book. Got it? Okay, we'll be expecting to see that in Amy's email here, Most Ricky Tick. And for those of you that don't have her email, I'll stick this in the chat room for you. So you can get that sent off here just right away. Let me see. I got to get the right format here. There we go. There you go. Write it down, and we'll be expecting that yummy-looking recipe most any time. Back to someone had mentioned up here. B2 Basic asked about the 9mm in a revolver. There's a couple of things. I had the Taurus 9mm for a while. I think it was Taurus. That had one that did not require moon clips. The head spaced on the case mouth, just like in a semi-automatic. But it acquired some horrible extraction problems with factory ammo. And we wound up sending it back to the factory. So I kind of got a bad taste in my mouth over that. If it hadn't been for that, it might not have been too bad. Not really a great benefit to having the 9mm. It's kind of neat, you know, to think to have a revolver with the 9mm round. But, you know, it's out of a revolver with the barrel cylinder gap. You lose quite a bit, and then you're getting down to where you're probably not doing as well as the average 38 special. The other ones that don't head space on the case mouth have moon clips or half moon clips. And there is your weak link if you're talking about, as most of us do nowadays, something for survival or preparedness. So when you're out of moon clips, you're out of a gun. You just throw it away. There's nothing you can do with it. You just toss it out the window. Because you're unless you can figure out a way. Now we did mess around there and got some moon clips that worked relatively well. We fashioned some out of hacksaw blades. The problem was though they were just a little bit too thick. We had to thin them down on a belt sander. It was a lot of trouble to make, and I don't remember if we got two or three rounds in there. I don't remember what it was. It might have been a two shooter. But we were trying to figure out what would be the advantage or what we could do in a poop hit the fan situation with no clips around. And that was an option. But the thing is, you've got to have some power tools. And to do that with a hand, with a file and stuff, and sandpaper, you know, or a stone or something would be horribly time-consuming just so you can make some reloads, you know, something to reload with. And even then, you know, you've got to have enough of those. The fact is, if this is a poop-hit-the-fan situation, then you're going to wind up losing some of those clips. If you're using this in a fight, you're not going to have the luxury many times of popping those out and dropping them in your pocket. And then you have to find cover for long enough, you know, if you run out of them, that you have to pop the empties out of there, put full ones back in. So, I mean, it's just, I think it's a pretty dumb idea, to tell you the truth, get right down to it. But and that's right, 357, whole lot more powerful, and the 38 special being a rimmed cartridge, extraction problems are pretty rare. I have seen a few times, and Doc's probably seen it too, where the extractor has jumped over the rim of the case, and that's kind of a difficult problem to fix when it does that in the field, especially, but it can be done. Ruger did make, and I think probably they, no, I don't think they make them anymore, to tell you the truth. The one with the 9mm cylinder. They made some for a while, and I think they may have experienced a lot of the same problems that we were talking about there, and that may be why they don't do it anymore. But it's a novel idea, and it sells well because it's such a neat idea. Oh yeah, I've got a double action revolver. I got a little Taurus that shoots the same round as my Glock 17. So what? What is the benefit of that? It's romantic sounding. It's good night, Chet. Good night, David. It sounds like a neat idea, but it's really kind of a dumb idea. It doesn't do anything for you. Would it be a good thing to put away? So if I don't know. Not really. If I was going to do it, it would be the Taurus that headspaced on the case mouth. But I just don't see any benefits to it at all. I just don't see any reason why it should. It's kind of like those left-handed revolvers that who was it made those? Charter Arms. Charter Arms made the Southpaw, which was a left-handed double-action revolver. And I thought those would be an awesome, wow, I thought it'd be great. I bought a bunch of them, and I thought everybody'd jump all over them. We sold a few, but, this is a right-hander's world, and left-handers have been shooting right-hand revolvers for generations, and they just weren't receptive to change. Of all the ones that I got, we sold, two or three of them locally. I shipped one to San Antonio, and I sent a couple of them to some dealers in other places, and I sent the rest of them back to the distributor. They just didn't sell. They sat around for months, and I thought they would. I thought that would pass up my Glock sales. Shit, not even close. Didn't even get anywhere near it. So anyway, so. Remember last night we were talking about the, and Yakima Glock asked about that Medusa. That's it's a novel concept. It's a novel gimmick is what it is, and that's all it is. Shooting all these calibers and stuff. Yeah, for a survival gun just to put away, it might be all right to keep up. Not anything that you're gonna, shoot a lot. But, I guess what I mean to say is it's not anything that's probably going to take the, use and abuse of being a defensive or fighting revolver. It's definitely a survival gun is about, the best you could hope for. Chet says, I'm going to talk to Copa offering a stealth shelf to the show. A stealth shelf. I don't know what in the world you're talking about there. Stealth shelf. I have no clue. Okay. Well, anyway. Now, the V2 Basic, the 380 is not that bad a gun, especially now with the Glock 42, 42. And with modern manufacturing techniques and bullet construction and stuff, the 380 is actually in actual shootings, it's about 3% better than the 38 Special. It's hard to convince people of that when you hold them up side by side and let them look at them. But the 380 is not bad. It's about 70% one-shot stop probability in actual shootings with real people. And the plus P 9mm are at 67%. So, if you hold any stock in that one-shot stop index, it is at least equal to or a hair better than plus P 38 Specials. If it's somewhere is about the same, you have faster reloads, not necessarily higher capacity, maybe. A lot of your 380s are six shots. There's some out there. There's one out there. I think it's a 21 shot. I believe it's a Taurus. But most of them are six shot. The little Glock is a six shot. The LCP, the Taurus TCP, all of those are little six shot revolvers. Now, if you'll remember, and we've talked about this numerous times, but this just one instance. But when you look, if it's 70%, you know, you have to have a cutoff point somewhere. So the 380 was our cutoff point that we recommended to people for self-defense cartridges, because we figured around 75% was probably our cutoff point, and the 380 was at 70% in those days. So we just made that caliber our cutoff point. The next step up from there was the 45 Colt, which was at 75%, but not a practical carry gun for most people, especially for, you know, older women in a purse or whatever. A five-shot revolver in 45 Colt was not the greatest thing in the world. The next thing up from there was, let's see, what was it? It seemed like to me there was something that was 80%. But the next one after that was the 9mm at 91%. So I wouldn't, for someone with the problem with the 380 is finding a decent gun. There's so many junk guns out there. The Bryco, well, most of them, a lot of those companies out of business now, but the Brycos, the Davis, the Jennings. I don't know if Jennings ever made a 380 or not, but anyway, a lot of those were just not suitable guns. They were junk. They were dangerous. They're hard to find magazines for, hard to make them work properly. So the if you find the Glock, the Ruger, and the Taurus, I think, are the three best 380s on the market. Ammunition plentiful. There's lots of different varieties of ammunition. The 9mm Makarov, yeah, it's a little bit hotter than the 380. But finding decent ammo for that and finding a gun other than the imported, not that they're bad guns. They work well. They're reliable, but they're heavy and I don't like them. But they shoot well. So, you know, if you like them, we'll jump on it. But finding good, or any variety of, defensive ammunition is pretty tough. But it is a hot little round. It does, I don't know about hot, but it's pretty tough. So, B2 Basic, you know, just with limitations, I wouldn't talk people out of a 380. Just be sure and let them know what their options are and keeping within its limitations, I guess I should. Remember, we talked about just a few nights ago. We talked about the guy that was he's got some stupid defense for the shooting the guy that was texting in. I think it was in Texas, wasn't it? Wherever it was, and he fired a single round, went through his wife's hand, as the best story that we got. And or through the other guy, through the victim's wife's hand, and one shot in him, he died on the spot. So you can't say that. You can't do a thoracic cavity shot with a 25 or a 32 and expect those kind of results. The 25 is a 22% one shot stopper. The 32 is 63, I think. And then the 38 is 67, and the 380 is 70. So, Yakima Glock, I would never say anything bad about those little 64s. They're great guns. They're inexpensive. And I don't like them. They're not ergonomic. They're definitely not long slide. You know, that's my brother right there. Why would anybody else want anything else than a Glock 17? But I will say this for the 64s. They are reliable. You can take somewhat reason mediocre care of it, and it'll run. I just don't like them. They're heavier than I like, and I just don't care for the gun. But they're solid. They work well. It's just a personal thing. I just don't like them. Let's see. Well, I did the same thing, Be Too Basic. I was, according to the Glock representative, my store was the top Glock dealer in New Mexico for some time. And we sold a lot of Glocks. And I still sell Glocks. Don't even have an FFL anymore. This has to Be Too Basic. Yeah. Okay, now as we bring this to a close here, I want to mention once again, for those of you that weren't with us in the beginning, I want to see what everybody thinks, and I'm not going to sit around and watch the chat room to see what you think about it. I've got other things to do. Sometimes you guys post things right after I close, and usually I'm either, you know, saving everything to a podcast or shutting it down to go in the house or whatever. So you can email me, you can text, you can put it on Facebook, you can do whatever you want to. Let me know what you think about, and I know it may not be your favorite thing, but I'm really thinking about going to 3 days a week, me and Amy both, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Liberty Lounge won't change, and probably try to do a little bit more gun stuff and a little bit less politics. I don't know. We're just kind of looking at maybe backing off of it a little bit, at least for a while, so we don't get burnt out and you know, wind up dumping the whole thing. But we've just got so many things to do, especially with winter coming and everything. So I don't know. It's just something. It's not anything that we've made any decision on at all. It's just something that we've kind of tossed around a little bit today, thinking about having a little bit more family time and less time in the on the air. And that was... There was something else I was going to say with that, but anyway. Okay, well, I'm going to get on out of here, and we'll see you guys tomorrow night. Tomorrow's Thursday. We're going to try to, Gretel, it's already been an hour, sweetie. Sorry about that. When we've got things to talk about and having fun, an hour goes by pretty quickly. Yeah, it looked like we're still possibility maybe trying to put another class on in Washington. Be Too Basic's heading that up for us up there. I don't expect to be doing it until probably springtime, but we're looking at it. We've got a Counter-Strike class coming up in Springerville, Arizona next Tuesday. Normally we don't do these on in the middle of the week like that, but we've got a private group, and that is the time that they want to do it. And I said, well, you got the money, honey, I got the time. So there we go. Okay, I am easing on out of here. We'll talk to y'all tomorrow. Thanks for joining me.
Thanks for joining us for another edition of The Shooting Bench. Please join COPE Monday through Friday for the most politically incorrect firearms information show on talk radio.
Lead, follow, or get the hell out of the way. Ladies and gentlemen, it is time for you to decide who you are. Somebody should call them. Somebody should write a letter. Somebody should try and stop that. Somebody should do something. I challenge you to look in the mirror and tell me what you see. If there's somebody there, that would be you. It's time for you to do something. There is no doubt that the Constitution is hanging by a thread. It's not going to wait for us much longer.